Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello there, everyone. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm Ben Moran, joined today by Ewan.
Hello.
And James Dowse.
Hello.
He gets his second name said because James is James Dowse. Anyway, today we're here to talk about the Xbox event that happened last night. And I don't know about you two, but I want to talk about the Halo Man because I've not seen him now for about 5 years.
5 years.
And even when we did see the Halo Man back then, half of the game was playing something called Lock. And I don't know, everyone got upset about that.
This is the thing, Ben Roy, because I am one of those people who yo-yoed between the Xbox and the PlayStation. I was at the OG Xbox, then Xbox 360, and then after they had that disastrous Xbox One reveal, I ended up getting the PlayStation 4. But I've always had a longing, a yearning, if you will, for Master Chief. And I was expecting Halo Infinite to really be like that thing that really kind of triggered my Halo-iness. But it didn't really do that. I don't know.
Really?
I mean, this is just me because like I was not a fan of Halo 4, and then when Halo 5 came around, I wasn't really privy to the discourse, as it were, because I just by that point I'd embraced Sony and I was giving the PlayStation a big warm hug while it was spewing dust and making loud noises in my ear. So yeah, I don't know. This new reveal, it looked good. It looked like classic Halo, but it also looked a little, I don't know, what were you guys' thoughts on it?
Because it looks like a Mega Bloks. It all looks Mega Bloks and cartoony. But with, as you said, you didn't like Halo 4. Personally, I loved Halo 4's campaign, didn't like the multiplayer.
Yeah.
Halo 5's campaign was trash, in my opinion, but the multiplayer was fantastic. It needed a reboot, in my opinion, in terms of style and story, and that is what this is doing. So in a way, it's kind of doing what the fans have asked for, but still the fans are annoyed that they didn't do what they asked for.
Is it a full reboot, though, or is it just we shoved the Master Chief in a pod again and it's kind of the same timeline? I'm pretty sure, I just throw him in the bin for a bit and get him back, like sort of thing. For me, I thought the Halo 4 campaign was fine. It was so long ago that I played it. The only thing I've done with Halo 4 since is move the game that's sitting over there behind me on my shelf from place to place, hundreds of miles across this country. Halo 5, I waited until it came on Game Pass because praise Game Pass. Played it once and it left no impression on me apart from, wow, Halo's fallen, in my opinion as well, far from where it was. It used to be the marquee sort of thing, like, this is Xbox, you want the Master Chief and you want to see him finish the fight several hundred times over. But for me, Halo Infinite looked like it's trying to invoke Halo Combat Evolved back in the old days now. Was it 2001 that thing came out?
Yes.
Something crazy like that. Where Halo Combat Evolved, was trying to do, it was doing linear levels, but they were big for the time. They felt sprawling, even though you could go back to like I did like the other week and they kind of condensed. But it feels like Halo Infinite is taking that feel of sort of exploring a Halo, and maybe we're gonna. From what we saw, there's a map, so I don't know if it's gonna be full on open world or segmented open world like the last two was. I don't know. What do you guys feel about if Halo is open world? Like, I don't. For me, there is the ever looming cloud of the open world fatigue. Mm-hmm. I get that sometimes. Whereas I'm playing an open world game now. I feel like I should just put a podcast on and get rolling. But at the same time, I just want to drive a Warthog around Halo, so I just want to know what you guys think.
My big concern with Halo going open world, and again, is probably I probably have no leg to stand on, given I haven't been invested in the series for like 8 years now. But the problem that I see with that is that, like you said, the linearity of the game is very good because it gives you just enough freedom to approach different, you know, missions from different angles. ODST stood out to me, you know, obviously that had an open world hub bit when you would then go to different places and then you'd have flashbacks. I thought it was handled well there. And ODST was certainly the most atmospheric Halo game. It's all about whether it feels organic enough and whether or not it feels conducive to the Halo, you know, series as a whole. Do we think the open world is did the series have to go open world? And obviously, you know, we can't say it did until we actually get our hands on it. But I certainly wasn't really blown away by what I saw. You know, Master Chief's got a grappling hook now. That's cool. And I am concerned because I've not played too many first person shootery open world titles, bar maybe Far Cry 3 or Far Cry 2, where I was like, yes, that had to be open world. I really enjoyed that. But maybe again, maybe it'll go some way in, you know, really hammering home the idea of Master Chief being this one-man army going up against the Covenant and taking on everyone. I don't know. The main thing that I was looking for to really trigger that nostalgic sense of longing for Halo was some multiplayer gameplay, because the period from 2007 to 2010, when you had Halo, or 2000, it was 2010 when Halo Reach came out, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
That period is like peak just nostalgia for games and just the best time I ever had on Xbox Live. So I feel as though if they want to win people back, maybe they're emphasizing the Master Chief love just a little bit too much and should maybe jump on the multiplayer and really be like, you remember the Xbox 360? This was the definitive platform for multiplayer games. Please come back and love us some more. Whereas now they're kind of basically gone, oh, we're really catering to the hardcore of the fan base that really wanted to see Master Chief. And again, I love me a bit of Chief. Don't get me wrong. I love a little bit of Master Chief. I love John. But at the same time, maybe it's that they're overestimating the love there, maybe? I don't know. That might be controversial. I might be talking out my ass, but I don't know.
I think the multiplayer, as you say, is the main focus of Halo. And with the Halo 5 campaign, I played it once, never played it again, then I spent 100 hours on the multiplayer. I'm probably going to do the same with this. So it's strange to say I don't care about the campaign. Of course I do. But I know that I'm going to spend the most of the time in multiplayer, and it should, as you say, have been announced yesterday what the multiplayer would be like. And they didn't.
Yeah, for me, I'm a bit of a cranky person here, because when Reach got his multiplayer, I kind of had to retire because I just turned into that person that gets sniped from the other side of the map, and I was like, oh, screw this. But one of the big problems, like, not problems, things I'm thinking about Halo is, we're emphasizing the Chief again. Can't remember what his mate was called. He was like, stay here, I'm gonna smack everyone up for you. But Halo, for me, doesn't feel like it's got that many characters. And they killed Sergeant Johnson off, who was a memorable character, sorry. Mm-hmm. And if they kill Lockoff, which is the rumors for this next one, they're just getting characters in and they're already off in them. I feel like where Halo is struggling compared to, say, like a Gears of War, is Gears of War has actual human characters with wants and needs, and they also have relationships, and they have family members who die off, and they can carry on a lineage of some sort. Mm-hmm. This is just, I'm just going to come out the fridge for a bit, shoot some people and go back. And it's a fun time, but I feel like that's where they struggle with extending the story on.
Yeah. I mean, I think you got a really good point there, because I don't want to like belabor the point too much in regards to, because it reminds me of comic books in a way, how a character reaches an organic end, but because they are so popular, they can't be retired. And I feel as though that has been Master Chief's issue, because no one can deny how iconic he is. And Xbox is desperately short on iconic video game mascots that can really champion the brand. So I totally get it from a business perspective that it is right to have Master Chief around and be a visible presence. But, you know, in the same way that Star Wars isn't all about Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker, the Halo mythos is so grand and compelling for a great many reasons. Who's to say that you couldn't do another ODST kind of title, or maybe focus on the Marines as well? There are so many different places you could go with that series. And over the past, you know, decade, I just thought that it hasn't been there. But, you know, I mean, at the same time, no one can deny how great it looks. I think it does visually, you know, it's fantastic. There were some weird comparisons doing the rounds on social media yesterday from people who don't know what art direction in a video game is, saying that it looks worse than the PlayStation 4 or whatever. I think the game looks great. Just, you know, it didn't really spark that going into it, I was like, you know what, this is going to be, I'm going to have like an intense moral conflict going forward over whether or not to get an Xbox. But it just didn't happen. There were other exclusives, though, that did kind of pique my interest and wanted to talk about those as well.
Yeah, this could be the massive Halo podcast where we just Halo and Halo all the time. I was about to say, we should probably move on. Now, I'm not going to go in chronological order because we won't have time to get to them all. I'm going to quickly dip into Fable because Fable was announced. Mm. We had a big giant frog lad. Mm. He ate a poor fairy. Mm. And then that was sort of like the opening. Now, I personally... I played some Fable 2. Yeah. It's in and out, but there seems to be a massive fan base for this, and it's one that I've never really understood.
Ben Roy, yes. Right. I played both Fable and Fable 2 and then Fable 3, right? For some odd reason, really, really enjoyed those games as I played them because I thought they had charm. They have character, you know, and no other game lets you cheat on your missus with a random person and then get an STD and then break your entire family apart. So for that reason, Fable is a very compelling title. But at the same time, you know, it has been one of those things where I look back on it now and I think, was it ever really that amazing? Like, I don't want to crap on anyone's enthusiasm or whatever. I think it's great that people are excited for the new Fable. And I wish I was excited about it as well. But it feels as though it's been so long now. And Fable 3 left such a bad taste in my mouth as well. I was just
Fable Legends game, which was coming out for Xbox One, but then got cancelled.
That sounded like a really interesting one as well, where you had like a dungeon master who was going to like lay out the levels and you'd all take it on at the same time. I don't know. I think, you know, it makes sense to bring Fable back again from a business perspective because Xbox is desperately found wanting when it comes to exclusives or whatever. But I don't know. I was as surprised by you about the love that there was for the Fable franchise, because as much as I thought it was a charming, you know, experience, you know, Chicken Chaser and all that, it took me by surprise.
If Fable at the time was quaint and it was different and it wasn't a shooter, and back in the sort of, let's say, the heyday, the Attitude era of the 360, it was all just people shooting things, the Halos, the Gears Wars, and then PS3 had Haze. But I think this probably could come back into some sort of like RPG. Who knows what it's going to be? Yeah, are you going to have people going through the world? People would be lights in your world. Was that a thing?
There was like a minor co-op element in the. Yeah. Was it the third title or the second title? I can't remember. But again, yeah, I don't know. Always a franchise with plenty of potential. And that was obviously, you know, the big Peter Molyneux brand was the yes, potential. I'm going to talk about all the potential this game will have as if it is actually in the game itself. And then when the game comes out, well, that'll be a controversy. I don't know. What do you think, Dawes?
I'm very glad that it's being developed by Playground Games because I have got every trust in them after the Forza Horizon games that they made. Mm. And Fable is pretty British, isn't it, really? Like, it is a very... It is. It's a British franchise, and it's got over the top. Yeah. And Playground Games has the roots in Britain. So maybe they'll be able to dabble into the Fable franchise well.
Mm. It's certainly a perspective that we don't get a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. So I've got my fingers crossed. Fingers, and they create beautiful games. So fingers crossed for Fable, I guess.
And yeah, Fable could smash it, which I think we're still trying to repair the damage from the Don Matrick era. But we'll have to see if Fable, whenever we get a trailer for it, in the next 2 years.
Ben Roy, like, you're taking me back to university here with the way we periodize stuff in history. You got like the long 1960s, the Nixonian era. We got the Don Matrick era and the what era are we currently in?
It was the dark times. Well, now we're in Big Phil. Big Phil is here and he's saving us and leading the charge. And one of the things that I feel like Big Phil is leading the charge with, not just Game Pass, but Avowed, the kind of Elder Scrolls-esque, we're not Elder Scrolls, but we are, game that we got like 5 seconds of preview footage. That
yes.
This is basically, hello, this is a Skyrim.
I mean, this will be the Skyrim, or the Elder Scrolls alternative that people can actually play in the next few years, I'm guessing. I don't know. Elder Scrolls 6 seems so far away, and you know, Obsidian obviously have delivered constantly great RPG titles. So again, that could end up being a really good one for them. It's again, we really didn't see much. I know that, I forget who tweeted it out yesterday, but there was a tweet about how loads of different companies, the CGI companies are really benefiting recently from all these new kind of franchise announcements, because we've seen very, very little gameplay. Which again is a throwback to 2007. I didn't think we'd have in the year of our Lord 2020. But again, not much to say about it because we know very little about it. But at the same time, I'm here for more fantasy RPGs, so that's cool.
Now, I don't know about you two, but they kind of like, I know Big Phil was sort of danced around the fact that some of these games, like Obsidian's games, we don't know if it's going to come to the PlayStation at all because what's it? Forgot the name of the Outer Wilds, not the Outer Wilds, the Outer Worlds, sorry. That was across both games, but if they have their own sort of Elder Scrolls style game that is exclusive to Xbox, this is going to be the kind of thing that is going to be like, well, now here's a reason to get an Xbox sort of thing. Whereas we've got so much, whereas there is so much on PlayStation right now with Ghost of Tsushima, Last of Us 2, and then go back even further to like God of War, Horizon Zero Dawn. There's been so many massive titles, massive like standout games, reasons to own that console. And this gen, it's kind of been like, so it seems like the groundwork's being laid for the path to having some sort of equal fight, even though people are, they're not interested in the console wars.
That's the point that I wanted to ask, is the idea of the Xbox platform being above the console war in some sort of strange way. And I feel as though this is a very weird decision for them to go down. Again, I can see why they've done it, because like you just mentioned there, the Xbox One had a dismal offering of first-party licenses, and PlayStation constantly beat Xbox time and time again over the past 7 years with the likes of Spider-Man, God of War, Last of Us, all that sort of stuff. And for Xbox to turn around after buying so many first-party studios as well to then say, oh, we're above kind of this console war malarkey. We'll offer our games to everyone. We're the good guys of gaming. Look at us, Xbox. We're doing the good thing. But that doesn't make any sense to me. You know, people buy consoles a lot of the time. I mean, when we're getting to a point now where the hardware is so pretty much almost indistinguishable, you know, you're really scrutinizing over the minor details here. People buy consoles over whether they're playing with their friends and what kind of games that are offered on there. And, you know, especially with something like PlayStation, I think Spider-Man was a definite system seller in terms of having that license that has such a broad appeal. And it seems weird for me for Xbox to then put so much effort into first-party stuff, but then to potentially say, oh, we're not bothering with this console exclusivity, and maybe try and paint Sony as the bad man stuck in the past or whatever. I don't know. It's a very weird thing that I'm curious to see how it plays out.
The one thing I got from that presentation last night was assurance that I'm not going to buy the Xbox because I've got a PC. Every single game that they said was going to come out on PC and xCloud, where I can play it on my phone. So why would I buy one? But I'm going to definitely get Xbox Games Pass, which is where they make their money.
And you're telling me you don't have that already?
Oh, I've got
it. Stealing gaming, Dallas.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Like, that's just, you've embraced this subscription based model for gaming, and to me, I do buy enough games a year to probably, how much does it cost a year, Games Pass? Is it,
see, on PC I've got it for $3.99 a month, but if you got the Xbox one as well, I think it's like $8.99.
I get Ultimate, and I think that is nearer the £10 a month.
You will get your money back if you buy more than three games, is what you're telling me there, which again, it makes sense to me, but again, you have to think about the concept of ownership, and you know, Xbox building a brand is an idea of that. Again, I'm very curious to see where that goes, and it's like we're having those conversations from like 2012 all over again, except they've repackaged it and made it much more consumer friendly in a way. But I'm still not ready to, I'm there clutching onto my physical media like, no, you can't take me, Xbox, get away. But I don't know, you're both keen adopters of the Games Pass, so
I will say, unlike Sony, Microsoft have been very friendly, to the point where I have an Xbox One, I have no physical games for it, because when I first got it, you can do a thing where you can game share with a friend. So you and one other person, you can get whatever games, and that's how I played Gears 4. And then it wasn't worth me being the game share partner, because I just literally wasn't playing anything. The Xbox went in the cupboard till Gears 5. And since I brought it back out and I've put a week into Horde, I've also been playing, going back through the exclusives like Halo 5, Quantum Break, I'm half through Hellblade, Void Bastards was on there, Outer Worlds was on there. Just everything keeps coming to me on Game Pass, and it just feels so good to be able to say, oh, I'm going to give that a try now. I probably wasn't going to give that currency, but now there we go. And then you find out that you've sunk so much time into it. And when I will probably get both eventually, like, you can't rip Gears of War out of my soul. It's going to be there forever. So they've got the claws in me that way. But it's weird. At the same time, I don't think Sony should approach this. It's weird because, like, if Sony approach it and they put all their A-tier games, because I have PS Now as well, but there's not really much on there of note. But if you're someone who keeps up with gaming, shall I say, but if you're someone who's going back to the backlog, there's quite a bit on there. Like, I'm thinking about finally giving Spider-Man a go because it's on PS Now. Who knows? It's a busy year. But the subscription gaming, I know what you mean, the sense of ownership, but I feel like that broke in me when I first subscribed to Netflix. And ever since then, it's been wearing down. Even though, if you're watching the video behind me, I love my physical media. It's sitting over there. I'm going to get the physical version of the PS5 because I want that option to, you know, get a disc of eBay and, you know, save a couple of pounds, basically. I'm not ready for the full future of digital yet, even though I'm a staunch supporter of Game Pass. Bit of a ramble, but I think it's great, and I think it should keep going. But then, does it devalue the industry as it go on? Who knows? What do you think?
I mean, that's the other question I have. You know, Dad, you mentioned that there's no point in getting a new Xbox if everything's going to be available on your PC anyway. Is there an argument to be made that this next Xbox is just a halfway kind of, you know, a bridge towards getting people to adopt PC more? I feel as though in the past year, we've seen Xbox be used more apart as a cohesive strategy from Microsoft in that sense, to maybe encourage more people to go with the PC. And obviously, you know, you've seen the stylistic similarities that the Xbox has had with different Windows operating systems and stuff. But I do wonder if maybe that's, you know, the grand strategy here is you get the Xbox devotees to then invest in the next console, and then they'll understand, oh, this is all, you can actually bring this across to the PC, we can play with all our friends on PC, and that way you effectively double your player base in that sense, which I think is a very, you know, smart thing to do, and something I haven't really considered. Do you see more people adopting PCs after getting an Xbox now, maybe?
there's always going to be an audience for putting a box in front of your TV.
Yeah,
because I cannot put my PC. I mean, I can, but I can't put it into my TV. I play on my monitor on my desk. Mm-hmm. So there is always going to be an audience for the Xbox. Whether it makes people, I mean, I played the Xbox One and that made me want to get a PC because I know that I could play the games I was buying much better.
Mm. Yeah, there's always that barrier for people just don't want to deal with sliders and spreadsheets. Yeah. And there's always going to be that weird stigma where PC just feels that bit more complicated, even though we go into the half steps where you can pick between performance or graphics now.
This is effectively a PC tower that you can stick underneath your TV. And that blurring of the lines, I think, is really fascinating. And it's something that I'm very keen to see where it goes over the next few years. Because like you said, you know, you associate your PC with just having it on your monitor, in a chair, in your ultra gamer nerd chair with your Mountain Dew and your Elite headphones and chatting crap and
you're doing.
That's exactly. I've read you for filth there, James Dowse, don't deny it. And then obviously the more casual quote unquote experience you get from sitting on a sofa. So I'm interested that very much by Microsoft blending those two things together into one thing potentially, and where that's gonna, you know, bode for the platform going forward.
Yes. And xCloud, which I think is another amazing thing, which is just gonna knock Stadia out of the park.
I remember Stadia when I get those adverts on YouTube.
Yeah. But like with their promises of being able to play Halo on the go, not that I would, because I don't want to play Halo on my tiny phone, but the possibility of being able to is quite cool.
Mm. When PlayStation knocked over their streaming to devices, I tried Fallen Order on my phone for a bit, and I was just playing it in bed for it. It just was really weird just to look at this tiny screen as I'm just playing this. It doesn't feel right. None of this feels right, and I'm curmudgeon, and I don't trust it. I just want my big TV, and I want my console. Yeah. Leave me alone. But we should get to a few more of the games before we have to go.
Absolutely.
There was Crossfire X, which is... I've never heard of this, but apparently it's one of the most popular things in time and space.
Literally,
and
I'm so
Remedy
excited for
are making
it.
Remedy are making the campaign for it, which is gonna be sweet. But also there was fine print saying it's not gonna be on Game Pass.
Yeah.
You have to buy the campaign. And that's a wealth.
It looks really cool. It looks like Tenet in a way. It looks like a Christopher Nolan military action film. And, you know, we've seen Remedy do great things over the past couple of years, you know, really exciting studio. And this was the first exclusive that I've seen for the new Xbox where I was like, damn, I really want that. It really looks really, really cool. So that one I was very excited for. And Rare's new game as well, which I thought had a lot of charm. And of course, the weird fish, frog, amphibian thing that opened up and then more fish came out of its mouth.
Yeah.
The Everwild, I mean, was that what it was called?
Everwild.
It was Everwild, but to me, you could have been describing the gunk.
Yeah, and Bugsnax, I think, occupy that similar bracket of just like, what the hell was that? But also, I'm fully here for it, so I don't know.
Yeah. I quite like Grounded. Else? Grounded was quite interesting. Do you know the one where it's set in like a garden?
Mm. Yes.
That was
the
cool.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids game.
Yeah. That looked cool.
But you can see that, and I think that's gonna be the sort of like the next Sea of Thieves-esque game where you're just gonna see it par along, and then you're gonna find out in a year's time people are just living in it and playing it all the time.
Yeah.
And streamers are gonna love it, and it's gonna be, especially the building aspect. You put building into a game, people just then just take it to the next level and just do things that you've never even thought of.
Yeah.
But she's probably gonna say as well that Stalker 2, again, that's been started and stopped and started and stopped for most of my life, is coming to Xbox One and Xbox Series X and the personal computer. So that is now also going to be like, oh, do I kick off the Mac and do I get a PC or do I get an Xbox?
This is going to sound very dumb of me. Is that the Shadows of Chernobyl game that was
show on? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Wow. That was one of those ones that you'd see on the top shelf at Blockbuster and go, that looks scary, and then never play it.
Scary face. Yeah. Like the half the face on the cover, and you're like, ooh. But again, we haven't really seen anything of that yet. It could, for me, it's probably going to be, it's going to scratch that itch of where maybe people aren't going to find that from a Fallout, but with a bit more serious tone to it. Aesthetic K3 as well. That started off, and I had people say to me, is this The Last of Us? I was like, no. But you could see the tone was similar. Like, Aesthetic K, for me, started fun and they've been trying to get more serious. I feel like they're going along. I don't know, did you play State of Decay 2 at all, Dallas? Like, did you?
I played State of Decay 1, but I never played 2. 1 was very... I enjoyed 1, but I knew that there was improvement to be made. But I never touched 2.
Put it this way, playing 2 on a launch Xbox, the Dumbbox, you would drive through a certain part of the map and the game would split in half and break. Like, it was insane.
Was it like PlayerUnknown's Battleground when that was first released on Xbox One? That was a mess.
that was a journey into the life where the game would lag out, you'd be dashboarded, but your character would be there. Your person would just be running off.
Yeah.
And you'd have to try and get back in before someone popped your head off with a sniper. It was insane.
Yeah.
I also think there's another Forza Motorsports, which should be of no surprise. Mm-hmm. People like the cars. The cars make the graphics look really nice, and the cars are also the thing that are going to be like, look at this, let's get involved. And also, it's weird because recently, I'm easy, but Gran Turismo, you always think that is the big car franchise, but Forza has eaten their lunch in recent years.
Forza, for the past like 10 years, has been miles and shoulders above where Gran Turismo is, mainly due to inaction from Sony in that sense. But yeah, Forza Horizon games, I used to have this really, I thought, underrated racing game for the Xbox 360 called Test Drive Unlimited. And I was like, that's a great game. The idea of having a car, you can go around and just roam around Hawaii and have fun. And then now you've got Horizon doing all these amazing like vistas, and it's just beautiful. And they're really, you know, we can talk about how they're just great demos for what the graphics are capable of as well. But they play through like really well too. So, you know, Forza, another thing that I am jealous of as a PlayStation owner.
The problem with Forza recently is the Motorsport series 5, 6 and 7 were pretty much copy and paste. And that's why there's been such a long process for this new one to come out, because they needed to rework the franchise kind of thing. And aren't they classing that as like a somewhat of a reboot? I don't know how you reboot a car racing game.
They're doing the Halo thing where they're not putting a number on it. They're like, this is going to be something we can build on and expand, and we're not really going to go into detail, and it's going to be confusing for years.
Can't wait for Battlefield just to come out in a year's time or whatever.
But there's also Phantasy Star Online. The Phantasy Star Online 2, I should say, but number one, when that was out on the 360, back when 360 hit homes, that was a revolution for someone who, like me, who had only really like heard of Star Wars Galaxies and sat behind a friend as they played it. So going around and just doing quests and shouting at other people online was an eye-opening experience for me. And it's weird how it seems again like Phil's going back to getting the Fable back in, he's getting Halo back into prominence. Phantasy Star Online, it feels like all these, it's almost, if they could do something good with Crackdown, they'd have a good lineup of the old games that were sort of the hard hitters. But it seems like the Phantasy Star one is scratching the itch, but also it's a game that's really old. I don't know if it should have been up there for that long.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, again, like you said, I think you've touched on a vital point there, where I feel as though they are trying to channel the nostalgia for the Xbox 360 in a way with some of these titles. But again, you know, it's been so long where I've been out of the picture for Xbox that looking back at it now, I'm like, I've moved past now. It's now, that was 13 years ago. It's 2020 now. It's a nightmare. I don't have time for fun, recollectic memories of getting teabagged on Halo or doing whatever on that. So, yeah.
Chainsawed in the back.
Yeah. Psychonauts is definitely the biggest blast from the past, though, because when was that first released? The first one of that?
2005?
So it's been 15 years, and this was like the token celebrity moment of Keanu from last year, and now it's Jack Black for this year. That looked cool. It looked like a trip. That's all it looked like. Load of colors, and also
Outer Worlds DLC. Like, I'm excited for that, but also that feels like a game that I was ready. I thought it was past, gone out to pasture, deleted off my hard drive, so it was gone. But I guess that's kind of around. It could be good. I wonder if they do more of it than just either add things to in the world like they did with a Fallout, or here's a segmented part of the world where you have to travel via another loading screen and take 10 hours to get there, sort of thing. So there's hopes for that as well. But really, overall, it was a weird one. It seemed like they were rebooting the brand as such. And they did get in there as well, like, but we've got Destiny 2 stuff now. And it's, you get the man, you go, world premiere, exclusive premiere. It's a premiere of the world and it's ours. And just look at it, and the premiere. It's like, what do you mean? Is it a console launch exclusive world premiere or a thing that's a premiere of a game? And I don't know what you mean, scary voice man. Just say, is it coming to our console first? Is it coming to Game Pass? Is it coming to Xbox One and Series X? Stop saying these words.
Where did this come from?
What? A lot of anger for this man.
Wow. Exclusive premiere guy, if you are listening, just bear in mind that Ben Roy's words and opinions don't represent What Culture as a company.
the premiere is exclusive opinions of one man. But what we should do now, we should finish as I'm tearing it down. Let's stoke the fire. Who won? Who won their event? Did the PlayStation 5 event tickle your fancy? Or did this Xbox event make you feel like, I'm not going to get a PC, I'm going to get the Xbox Series X?
I'll let you answer that first, Dallas, because I'm going to be...
PS5 had much more visually impressive games, which I wanted to play for their story. Xbox had games that I can't wait to play with other people.
I mean,
that's probably my thing. Yeah,
yeah. PlayStation, I think, far and away, kind of, because that first reveal for the Xbox Series X and the next generation, I feel as though this event was an addendum to that, in the sense that they realized, oh crap, we didn't really focus too much on the games the first time around. Let's go and address that now. Whereas PlayStation, I thought, hit it out the park with some really great reveals. I thought it was just, again, I'm too biased at this point, but as someone who has yo-yoed between both Xbox and PlayStation and has owned more Xboxes than I have PlayStations, you know, I still think that Sony still have their foot on the gas for the foreseeable future, even though Xbox are trying some really innovative new things.
Yeah, yes. And me, I'm going to get both eventually, just because why not? There are so many world premiere exclusive premieres on Xbox. I can't not get it, even though at heart, I enjoy the PlayStation series of games. And I don't know, they showed a Resident Evil in the PlayStation 1, so they win. No. So there we go. PlayStation 5 has won the console wars coming ahead. What do you guys think? Are you happy about the Xbox Series X showcase, shall we say? Are you in? Are you sold on Game Pass? Or are you just going to get a PC? Or maybe just get a PS5. Let us know down below in the comments. Tweet us at WhatCultureGaming, hashtag WCGP. You can follow James Dowse at...
James Dowse with an extra E at the end.
And you can follow Ewan at...
Ewan Ruins Things.
And you can find exclusive world premieres at Ben Roy Turner on Twitter. Until next time, just keep thinking about the world premieres, because we are.
Yeah.
Bye-bye now.
That's all we think about. Bye.
Premier.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.